Blog Talk Radio. About getting Christian counseling for yourself or a loved one? From time to time, we all have difficulties and we need help to sort things out. Sometimes, we may just want an objective person to encourage and coach us through certain seasons in life. Christian counseling can help facilitate the healing process for spiritual, psychological, and emotional growth. Hi, I'm Dr. Ginny. Being a Christian counselor means I'm dedicated to helping people resolve past and present issues. My goal is to help my clients develop meaning and purpose in life, enabling them to make changes that will result in personal growth and development, restoration of balanced lifestyles, and the emotional strength to yield lifelong results. If you're looking for some answers and would like some Christian or spiritual direction, please call me for a private one-on-one phone consultation at 1-800-375-3446. I would love the opportunity to talk with you and help make today better and tomorrow great.
Welcome to the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Ginny, and I'm here with my co-host,
Jessica.
And we want to welcome everybody to the show tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Our topic tonight is one of my kind of favorite ones. It's dream interpretation. And it's kind of one of those things, sometimes you have a dream, you know, and you're not sure what it means. Was it a dream? Was it not a dream?
Well, and I think a lot of people wonder. I mean, you dream the weirdest stuff and think, what in the world could that possibly mean?
Right, and then you try to attribute something to it, like was it, you know, a movie I saw? Am I having some issues that I don't realize or do realize? Was it bad Chinese food? You know, you don't know.
They can give you bad dreams. It actually can.
They really can. Well, and medications can give you bad dreams.
Really?
Too. Yeah, different kinds of medications, especially, you know, if you take Tylenol, you know, like NyQuil or Tylenol PM,
yeah.
That often will give people dreams. Or people sometimes when they overtake melatonin, they'll get bad dreams.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It could give you a lot of bad dreams. Or, of course, you know, Xanax or any of those other narcotic type of drugs. But what we're here to tell you, if you've ever wondered what a dream has meant or if it was real, we're here to answer that question for you, and we're going to learn a lot about dreams, symbols, and how to decipher them. So I think you better stay tuned, because this is going to be a really good show. And as always, a little later on, we're going to be doing some live mini angel readings. And please make a note of our call-in number, which is 323-679-0882. That's 323-679-0882. Feel free to call in and ask a question, make a comment, have some advice, or ask for some advice. We love to hear it all, and we love to hear it from our listeners. And our chat room has now gone live. I do not know if Susie Q is sitting in there tonight. Usually she is, but I think she's been having some computer issues, and I don't see her in there right now, so we will, of course, go to the chat room and try and read all the comments or questions that are in there. And tonight, we want to do something a little different. Because we're going to be doing dream interpretation and asking, you know, all of our listeners, have you had a dream that you weren't sure how to interpret? I have studied this for a long time, so I'm going to say go ahead and type a short version of your dream into the chat room, and I will be happy to explain it over the air, how I interpret it, and perhaps what it means or what meaning it might have at the time you had the dream. So remember, if it's an old dream and it's still bothering you, we can talk about that too. The other thing is, you want to look for upcoming shows. One of our topics are going to be December 21st, 2012. Is it the end of the world? Are you going to be going somewhere? Do you need to pack a swimsuit or a parka? No one knows. What's going to happen in 2012?
That's a good question.
I know. So we're going to have a show totally devoted to 2012, and we've invited a guest to come on who actually teaches courses on this very subject. Then we're going to have a show on near-death experiences and find out what that's really like, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to some people who've had them. And then the show that I've been receiving so much email about since we mentioned it the other day, we're going to have a show about nothing. We're borrowing a page from the Seinfeld series, and we're actually going to have a show about nothing. And that should be really interesting, because when you ask me what it's going to be about,
nothing. And you know what? You and I can talk about nothing for hours.
My husband has often been amazed at that.
Yes.
I believe there's been many. He will say to us, "I don't understand. You don't really talk about anything. How can it take hours?" I said, "Wow, it just, you know."
Well, when you jump from one topic to the next, it all relates.
It goes. So I'm going to ask the proverbial, "How was your week?"
My week has been very interesting. This weekend, you and I went to a family event with our
families. Yes.
And
husband,
it was,
kids and...
yeah, it was, needless to say, interesting, because my ex-husband, your brother,
mm-hmm.
was there,
mm-hmm.
and his wife.
Yeah.
And you know that he and I do not have much contact. We've been divorced for 8 years now. And it was interesting.
I want to know what you thought when you saw him.
Well, when he walked in the door, and I haven't seen him in a while, and he has changed a lot
mm-hmm.
since he and I were together, and he is very into the biker scene now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he looked like a giant garden gnome with a Harley hat on.
A giant garden gnome. I love.
Just picture
what
a gnome looks like.
You're
you know,
right.
Short, stout, with a long beard,
yeah.
long hair, and a weird-looking hat.
You know, we should Photoshop
mm-hmm.
a gnome hat on his head and send it to him.
That would be funny.
I think we have
to
do that.
Because I even made a comment to him saying that he looked like a gnome, and he actually laughed, which
was
a good
he
sport
it,
because
yeah.
you know, it really wasn't very nice.
Well, it was. I'm sorry. It was a fun event. It was my dad's 75th birthday surprise party, and we couldn't talk about it on air because, well, no one was supposed to know about it, and my dad
right.
listens to the show, at least most of the time.
Right.
And so we didn't want to give it away, so it was kind of neat because my dad is, like, in the best shape. You know what I mean?
If you looked at him, you would never, ever guess he was 75.
He is amazing. He works out, like, I think 3 days a week
mm-hmm.
religiously, but then he squeezes in workouts in between, and he'll get on the elliptical for, like, an hour, you know. And
oh, he has
break
more energy than me, that is for sure.
He amazes me. He's an amazing man. So it was really neat, and he was truly surprised.
He was shocked.
I don't know how much.
And there were, what, 70 people?
There were a lot of people
yeah.
there. Yeah. It
was
a
lot of
people.
He has a lot of people that really love him.
And the really cool part, though, was we did a to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And you know, with the real, you know, with the real one of him stand up, and that was fun. But the best part were my two brothers.
Oh, that was so funny.
Dressed up as Marilyn Monroe, dressed, wig and all.
And you're talking to a little on the heavy side, very hairy men.
Well, you wear a halter dress like that and have a hairy back, it's never going to be a good thing. Yeah, so they came out in those halter dresses with a fan blowing, so their skirts kind of went up partially.
That was so funny.
I think we all had to cover our eyes, but it was great. It was
I haven't laughed
hysterical.
That hard in a long time.
I don't think anyone did, and I'm going to try and get it on my Facebook here.
Oh, there
soon
you
enough.
Go.
My brother said he's going to send it over to me because I know he put it on his Facebook, so I have to do that.
Well, it's worth anybody checking out because it was hilarious.
It was wonderful. So that was a good time. But you know what? What I really enjoyed was, yesterday we went to see
Super 8.
Oh my gosh, that was so good.
That was really good.
If anybody gets a chance and has not seen this movie, because I know a lot of people have already gone to see it, it is traditional Steven Spielberg, right?
It
and
was
good.
Awesome. It was the Goonies, but more exciting, more danger.
More exciting,
yeah.
And it was a little intense, I'm going to say that.
It
you
was
know,
a little scary.
Definitely not for little kids.
No.
Definitely not. You know, my children were older when I showed them Goonies, and I waited, and I would say you definitely have to wait that long.
Well,
to
and Goonies
there.
Was mild compared to this.
Yeah, there was some intense scenes, but the coolest part was, you know, it had everything that one of Steven Spielberg's movies should possibly have, and then when it was all over at the very end, there was, you know, fire rockets and there was tanks and explosions, and then the water tank exploded, so there was like a mist coming off the ground. And then the movie was out, and, you know, we're from Florida, so as we take all our kids and we start to leave the theater, it was kind of oddly quiet, and it was like no wind, and there was steam coming off the ground, and there was fire. You could smell fire in the air. And the sky looked like somebody was just turning on and off a light switch of lightning.
Oh, it was unbelievable lightning all over.
We felt like we left the set of the movie theater to walk right into the movie, because that's really what it felt like. And that probably was the coolest part.
And it kept the effect going for the rest of the night.
It really did. It was a lot of fun. So if anybody gets a chance to see that movie, I highly recommend it. I'm not big on sci-fi and stuff like that, but that was good.
That was good. Worth checking out, anyone checking out.
Absolutely. So everybody stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to find out what your dreams really mean. What does it mean when you dream about a zombie or getting stabbed or maybe your car going down a roller coaster? And I'll tell you what, I pulled something off Father Bob Bailey's site today about a dream that somebody had that was pretty spooky. And when you hear about it, it's going to send shivers down your spine. We'll be back in two.
The light finds
And you're back live with the Christian Psychic Cafe. You know, dream interpretation. The interpretation of dreams probably is old as dreaming itself. It's pretty old. We know that all humans and many animals dream every single night, and humans have always been fascinated to learn what causes dreams and what they mean. It actually dates all the way back to, as far as they can tell, the year 3000, 4000 BC. We know that because the interpretations of dreams were recorded in a permanent form of clay tablets, and it's thought that many primitive peoples and cultures weren't able to initially distinguish between the real world and the dream world. Like, they weren't sure, you know, is the dream world part of the real world, but just an extension of it? And in many cases, they looked upon the dream world as an extension of the physical world around them, and they saw the dream world as more powerful than the waking one. So they thought that they could accomplish more in their dream world, which is kind of interesting. But it was such an important field to the ancient Greek and Romans that dream interpreters often accompanied, like, generals and military leaders into battles. So dreams were taken really seriously. I mean, this wasn't a game. And the Greeks and the Romans in particular often viewed dreams as messages sent by their gods. So they go way back in people trying to interpret them. They also, you know, have a religious content. If you look at the ancient Egyptian and those people thought that their dreams doubled as messages from priests. So dreams were kind of items that were recorded by the ancient Egyptians in the form of hieroglyphics. So, because they thought that these were messages that had to be sent on, okay, which is kind of interesting. And so I want to rephrase that. I said that the religious content, the priests, or what they had as priests would help them to record them and interpret them. But they thought that they were spiritual messages that had to be passed on to the next generation,
okay.
So they would record them and hieroglyphics. And those dreams were pretty vivid, and they were thought to be special blessed statuses, that these ancient societies were getting these wonderful messages. And then people who were able to interpret these dreams were thought to be directly descended of God, having a closer connection to God than the others. So they enjoyed a pretty special status in society as well. They were constantly bestowed with gifts. So if you were a dream interpreter, boy, you ranked right up there.
I wonder where those dream interpreters got their training.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Good question.
That's a good question. I think dream interpretation, in a large part, is based on psychology.
Well, right now,
you know?
But way back then, you know.
Yeah, you have to wonder, because actually in all the research I've done, I don't really know what they base that. That's a very good question. But they do mention, there's over like 700 mentions of dreams in the Bible, and people in biblical times saw dreams as being a very significant thing. And actually, in a lot of the early Holy Scriptures, they mention dreams. So dreams are seen as a form of prophecy, I guess. That's a good way to put it, because often the dream is interpreted as an omen or a warning, and so that people can adjust the activities around them. And so if you're looking at a dream as an omen from a religious aspect, or coming from spirits, or as a message from departed souls, you're going to kind of take that information in and then act accordingly, right? The question is a dream just a message from a spirit or from a departed soul? Or, as some believed, could it be some kind of demonic thing that comes to them in a dream? So this kind of confuses people and it scares people, you know. Dreams were so important that they often dictated the actions of political and military leaders, affecting everything from the prosecution of a battle to the outcome of a political decision. So, you know, even healers used dreams, you know, and they thought that they were learning new techniques on how to heal. Now, the reality is, interpreting a dream is very detailed, and it really depends on the individual. But we do know that, for instance, the Chinese culture believed that the soul left the body each night during dream sleep, and they believed that if the dreamer was suddenly awakened, that the soul wouldn't be able to return to the body. So, which is interesting,
yeah, that's
right?
Interesting.
I mean, so that's why some Chinese are still very leery to use alarm clocks. Yeah, they're literally, especially older Chinese.
Oh,
like
I did
that,
not.
Yeah.
I never heard that
yeah.
before.
So that's kind of how ancient legends kind of linger into the modern world. And then, you know, in Mexican and Native American societies, they share kind of what I call an ancient view of the importance of dreams. And their belief is they believe it's a separate dimension that's visited during their dream sleep, like it's a whole other world that's constantly existing, but they only get to visit it during their dream sleep. They believe that their departed ancestors live in their dreams and that they're able to take on forms of animals and plants in this separate dream world, which is, they think, another extension of or dimension of life that's constantly going. But I think ultimately we all respect dreams. But I will tell you this, the idea of being a dream interpreter radically changed in the early 19th century because the dreams in that era were often dismissed as reactions to anxiety or outside noises or even bad food or indigestion. So during this time, dreams were thought to have no meaning at all. And any interest in dream interpretation at all pretty much evaporated. And that stayed that way. There's no really, you don't see any information about dream interpretation until the arrival of the famous Sigmund Freud in the 19th century. And he stunned the world of psychiatry by stressing the importance of dreams. You know, like he felt that dreams, you know, had a significant role in determining what kind of things were going on in your subconscious. But I will tell you this, we all dream, most of us dream, and there's probably four stages of sleep. And when trying to analyze or interpret your dreams, it's important to know that when every human being at every age and from every corner of the world will dream from 4 to 7 times each night. Did you know that?
No, because I'm lucky if I even remember one dream.
Ah, that's a really good point. We're going to get to that in a minute. There's evidence even that babies experience dream sleep while they're still in their mother's womb.
Aww.
Isn't it? I know. It's like, oh, how cute. I
what
hope
could you dream about?
Panda bears and Winnie the Pooh. And
but you're not even born.
I know. But
dream
it's
about
sweet to think about, isn't
amniotic
it?
Amniotic fluid.
Think about an ocean of waves.
That's right.
That's probably what it sounds like. But what they dream, you know, of course, is a mystery. What animals dream about is a mystery as well, but most mammals do dream. And the sleep cycle is divided into 4 distinct stages. And everyone cycles through all 4 stages each and every night. And every cycle contains a stage of dream sleep, and every person experiences a number of distinct dream stages and distinct dreams each and every night. Pretty much typically the only dreams that are recalled, if any are recalled at all, because you just said what I often have felt, I keep paper and pen next to my bed at night because my dreams sometimes have more significant meaning because,
right.
You know, I might be thinking about what's going on with a client and something may come to me, so it's really important that I remember it. Typically, only dreams that are going to be remembered are those that take place closest to you waking up. So the closer a dream occurs to, like, when you wake up in the morning,
mm-hmm.
okay, the more likely that you're going to be remembering it. And if you wake up in the middle of a dream, you'll remember your dream perfectly and down to the tiniest detail. And they know this from years of studies. Like, if you're awakened in the middle of your dream, maybe because you hear a loud noise, you're going to remember that dream right then. If you sat down and wrote it all out, you'd remember the most finite detail, you know. But you may be surprised to know that science is still unsure of the exact function of dream sleep. I mean, we know that dreams are absolutely essential to our psychological and physical health. They have volunteers that they've been given drugs to disrupt dream sleep experience of all kinds. And if they don't have their dream sleep, they have trouble concentrating, they're irritable, they have hallucinations when they wake up.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, the 4 stages of sleep are critical. And the first stage is, it's a very light one. It's easy. You can be awoken or disturbed by even a slight breeze or a little sound. But stage 2 is much deeper. And it's in stage 2 of sleep that dreams will actually begin. And at this point in your dream cycle, there's usually no clear images, but mostly it's like a vague idea or thought that will drift into the dreamer's mind. And then in stage 3, you're in an even deeper sleep, And with this sleep cycle, your sleeper's muscles have all pretty much relaxed, and the heart rate and the respiration have been slowed down. But it's really when you get to the fourth stage, which of course is known as REM, which is stands for rapid eye movement sleep, and that's the deepest stage of sleep. And this is the one where most dreams occur. During the stage of sleep, it's kind of difficult to wake up the sleeper, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually where somebody will have to shake you,
right.
You know. And I always, that's the sleep that always scares me because, okay, I think we all think, well, if someone broke into our house,
mm-hmm.
you know, like if you tried to wake up your son.
Good luck.
Right,
you'd have
okay.
to explode
you know?
A bomb.
And when my husband's really out, same thing. You know, it's like, ba-boom.
Right.
To get them to, when they're in REM sleep. So studies of dreaming patients have shown that the more brain activity occurs when we're dreaming than when we're awake, but that's during the REM sleep. And you know, if you've ever seen like a child, like you go into a child's room
mm-hmm.
and they're in a deep sleep and they're in a REM sleep, you'll see their eyes moving back
yeah.
and forth, you know. And that's kind of an odd thing to see because
mm-hmm.
I remember when my girls were real young and I saw that, I was like, what the heck is that? Oh, my gosh, you know. But it generally only lasts for about 10 minutes. And after that, the sleeper returns to the deep sleep that characterizes probably sleep level 3. And then they'll go back into 4 and maybe have another dream. So that's why this can cycle through many times, up to 7 times
wow.
in a night. Isn't that interesting?
That's interesting.
I know. Cause
no wonder I wake up exhausted sometimes.
I know. I mean, you're not retaining it in your conscious mind, but we talked about the subconscious.
Right.
And we know that it's all coming in the subconscious mind, so that's kind of cool. You know, I mean, I think that's pretty amazing. So I'm gonna go to a song real quick, and we'll be back, and we're going to tell you how to interpret some of these dreams. It will blow your mind.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must the cannonball fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
And you're back with the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm here with Jessica, and we are talking about dreams and how to interpret them and what they mean. And I think sometimes our dreams give us really important messages, And I have somebody who's called in here. Her name is Tina, and I hope we have her on the line. Tina, are you there?
You have me.
Oh, fantastic. Tina, I know that you shared a story with me a little while back that was, I thought, one of the most wonderful examples of how our dreams are sending us messages and our loved ones. And you asked me if the chat room, if it would be okay if you could share that, and I would love for you to share that tonight with our listeners.
Okay. Well, this really gave me a lot of comfort, and I think I had kind of blown off dreams for a long time, and this was so significant to me. It just, it, like I said, it gave me a lot of comfort. But anyway, to bring everybody up to speed, like I said, my son passed away 2 years ago, and probably about a year after he died, maybe not quite so long, I had a dream, and it was kind of toward the end of when I was asleep, and I heard his voice, and what he told me was, he said, "Mom, I'm worried about Brittany," and Brittany was the neighbor girl, and he showed me his arm. For some reason, when I dream about him, he always showed me his arms because he had this scar on his arm from when he had a bike accident when he was 10. We always used to tease him about if we ever had to identify him, he had that scar on his arm. So he was always showing me his arms when I would dream about him. But anyway, he said something about white, and I couldn't quite make it out. And I woke up, and it was just so real and vivid to me. I thought, you know, am I crazy, or did I just really hear from him? So anyway,
right. But you felt different, didn't you, after that dream? Didn't you feel differently after that dream?
Yeah, I did. Because it really was very real and vivid to me. But anyway, so I went ahead and a few days later I got up my courage and I asked my neighbor about her daughter. And I said, you know, how's Brittany doing? And I figured I would get, oh, she's fine. And she would, you know, go her way. And I'd go mine. And instead she stopped and she looked at me and her eyes filled up with tears. And she said, there's something wrong with her and we don't know what. And it just blew me away. And so anyway, she kind of described her symptoms to me, and when I knew what her symptoms were, let me back up. I asked her if something about white had any significance to her, and she said no. So anyway, I went home, and I thought, well, if she's sick, then maybe the white is like a syndrome. Maybe there's some significance to that. So I Googled it in and found something called white syndrome, and it's basically a condition where the heart misfires, like an electrical impulse misfires, and it causes fainting and lightheadedness and all that. It was exactly the symptoms that she had described to me.
Wow.
So I went ahead and ran off the information that I found on the Internet, and then a couple days later, I took it to her, and I said, have you got a diagnosis yet on Brittany? And she said, yes. It's something called WPA, WPW, yeah.
Uh-huh.
WPW. And anyway, so I gave her this sheet that I ran off the information on, and I said, does this sound anything like that? And she looked over, and she said, just a minute, let me run in and see what the doctor wrote, because it was basically an abbreviation. And she said, let me see what this all actually is. So she went in, and she got the piece of paper, and she came out, and she was just absolutely astounded, and she was standing there looking at me, and she said, it's a syndrome called Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome.
Wow. Wow. That's
and we
mind
both stood there and cried.
Of course,
I mean,
of course. But
and
how
I said,
comforting.
My son couldn't remember to take out the trash in life, but in death, he's diagnosing major medical conditions.
I love that. But didn't it also warm your heart to know that your son had communicated with you, that was not just a dream of what you wished to happen, but an actual thing that happened?
Yeah.
Didn't it comfort you?
It did, and it still does. And like I said, I give a little more validity now to when I dream about people, especially people who have passed, and it makes me, you know, it just makes me wonder. I think part of that was he wanted to show me that the dreams I was having weren't just dreams. They were his way of reaching out to me, because there was no way that could be a coincidence.
Right.
I mean,
no, absolutely.
Possibility.
Well, and that's happened on other occasions with your son as well. Even if you remember him naming the cat, right?
That's true. Yes, he did. He named the cat. Yes.
He's made a point of reaching out to you, and I just think it's important because it lets people know, number one, there's an afterlife. And they are able to communicate. We need to try really hard to listen in most cases. And what a wonderful thing that was. But I love your analogy that he couldn't take the remember to take the trash out, but he could diagnose a major illness, right? I mean, that is amazing.
Because the irony of it is, literally, he knew a week before the doctors did what her diagnosis was, because they were still running tests. But
wow.
He knew what it was.
Wow.
So, you know.
Boy, folks, there's a
so I don't know, and I don't know where he got his information, but he must have had some really good sources, so because that was just absolutely amazing.
Let's just say an absolute higher level of consciousness, right? Absolutely.
Yes.
That's such a blessing. That's such a great story. Thank you so much for calling in tonight and sharing with us. I really, truly appreciate it. And do me a favor, shout out the name of your website for your dolls.
Oh, okay. Actually, you can Google in Tina's Tots, and it'll come right up. It's
Tina's
the first one
Tots.
To Google. Tina's
okay,
Tots.
Great. TinasTots.com, and her
well,
site
actually,
will come up?
It's actually TinasTots-Dolls.com, but it gets complicated putting in the dash from the dolls. So, like I said, I just tell people, Google in Tina's Tots, and it'll come up, and then you can just click on it.
Perfect. Well, y'all go take a look at her dolls after the show, of course.
All right.
Of course, Tina,
thank you.
God bless you,
All
honey.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
I mean, I remember when she told me this. She was shaking when she called. Cause that
I can
like,
imagine.
When we have a loved one that's passed on and they come to us in a dream, I think it's easy to say to ourselves sometimes, you know, was I just imagining that? So I just wanted that person to come to me because I miss them so much. Well, I'm here to tell you that he definitely came to her because he diagnosed a major disease that the doctors couldn't even figure out what it was yet and knew there was something wrong with
it. That's amazing.
Et cetera. Yeah. And that, so that's one thing I can tell you, folks. Do give validity to your dreams because I do believe that there is a lot more to it than any of us really realize, you know. Our dreams are real. And, you know, if you're not sure how to interpret your dreams, the first thing I need everyone to do and to remember is that for your own fun or even for your own personal or spiritual growth, there's a few pointers I can give you to get the most out of your dream world. So, when you wake up, immediately replay the dream in your head. It's important to do this because whether your eyes are opened or closed at that point, the dream world will slip away quickly. As much as 50% of your dream will be forgotten within the first 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 50%. So now you see why it's so important to replay it in your head immediately. And then you want to write it down because after 10 minutes, like if you lay there and say, okay, I'm going to write it, and I'm just going to sleep a little bit longer. After 10 minutes, pretty much 90% of the dream's contents will be lost. Yeah, 90%.
And I believe that because I very rarely remember my dreams.
Well, I remember waking up being really excited about a dream, like, oh, this is really good. I got to use this information. This is good stuff. And then I selfishly went back to sleep. And then, like, somewhere around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm like, hey, wait, what was that? You know? Because, like,
you
forget.
You get drift of it, yeah.
Yeah, and then you're like, I know it was something really good, but I don't remember what it was. And then I'm frustrated with myself for being careless. So immediately write down a description of your dream. Focus on the key objects or symbols or feelings. Write a few words about each kind of key element of the dream as quickly as you can before they're forgotten. And then you can go back later and fill in the gaps. But it's important to write your dream down as quickly as possible. So keep a notebook by the bed with a paper or a pen or a pencil so that you can quickly, you know, get it down. And then when you want to begin your interpretation process, you know, go to a quiet place where there's no distractions. And then review your notes and fill in any details that you might remember that might even come back later because that's going to jog your subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And remember what we learned in the show last week is that our subconscious will store everything that we ever see, ever registered in our mind's eye or in our hearing is filed away in that huge computer called our subconscious. So sometimes just looking over the notes that you took will automatically trigger that.
Hmm.
Wow, isn't that amazing?
I mean, I need to do that.
You really do, because and while you're doing those notes, pay close attention to the emotions that they stir in you, because this emotional state at this moment during that dream can help you to really understand what the dream meant. And remember location, situation, sensation, symbols, and open your heart as well as your mind, because everything does have a meaning, okay? And remember that when you're interpreting something, remember it's your interpretation, but it's your interpretation the dream is based on anyway, so it's okay that it's your interpretation, okay? We're going to talk a little bit about a J dream versus a regular dream in just a minute. We're going to listen to The Carpenter.
Which I love.
Jessica made me laugh. I'm sorry, everybody. We were, you know, I'm like an old lady sometimes, and I was just telling her I have a pulled muscle, and she was telling me she has a pulled muscle in her neck from the way she answers the phone at the office,
And how sad that you can pull a muscle answering the phone.
Does that say we're really out of shape or what?
Apparently.
I think I pulled a muscle in the movie theater last night. I didn't even reach for popcorn. I didn't eat any. So what
just
was
that?
Just
kind of crunchy.
Maybe when I nonchalantly dropped that water bottle that I snuck in my purse.
Oh,
right?
That could be.
Yeah, and I said I was saving it on the
floor
for later.
Now, you were trying to look at the hot guys in the row behind us.
Okay, the one thing I will have to say is there were so many great-looking, they were all, like, so well buffed.
It was like the buff guy crowd.
I got a little nervous, though, because all of a sudden they all started coming in. They looked like they all
were
came out of a gold gym or something, you know, and they were lining up And you're telling me, yeah, but there's girls with them. I'm like, I don't see them. I only see the buff guys.
They all had dates with them.
They all did, but there were like a mess of them. I thought, well, I wonder if there was, you know how they break out? They wear these trench coats and they go to like some major area where people gather and they all rip off the coats at the same time and do that mob dancing or whatever they call it.
I have not ever heard of that.
Oh, come on. I know our listeners have heard of it. I guarantee. Come on. Have you not
heard of that? Yeah, in the middle of a movie?
You've never seen that?
Never.
I think it was even on Modern Family where they did.
Sure you didn't dream that?
I guarantee you people in the chat room are screaming out right now, yes, we know what this is. I think it's called Flash Mob or something like that. But I know it's in there. I just know it. In any event, we're going to go to the different kinds of dreams we can have. There's really quite a few. Well, technically not a dream, the daydream, since it's going to take place while we're awake. Researchers say they're looking into what the daydream is and how it kind of fits into the spectrum of dreaming, but it's estimated that people spend between 70 and 120 minutes each day engaged in daydreaming. Now,
how is that possible? You're at work all day? What are you daydreaming all day long?
I remember telling, I think I talked about this on this radio show, I'm pretty sure, about one of my first daydreams. When I was scrubbing the grout, which was a very tedious, very boring job, many, many years ago, about 25 years ago, give or take, in my kitchen. And I had a tile counters and the grout, and I like it to stay white, and I was scrubbing with a toothbrush, which is hard to believe. And I was scrubbing, and I had a daydream, and that was a daydream that of a health situation for my husband that ended up being very real. And I had many daydreams after that. One even included your son, which was really weird. That was an odd one. I don't think we ever talked about that.
No, we didn't.
I had a dream that he couldn't walk, but that he was going to get the use back of his legs. And I was really hesitant to call you up because I didn't want you to think I was absolutely insane, okay? And that's one of the things, folks, I have to tell you, when you start getting messages initially and you're not really sure but you just feel really strong about it, you know what? Unless you're in a situation where you're really going to make yourself look like a total nut job, I suggest you tell people, because if you don't and it happens, as we're going to read here in a story that came in from somebody, you will never forget it. I mean, you'll never forgive yourself.
Right.
In this case, it wasn't one of those. But still, I called you up and said, okay, I just had this really weird thing, and your son's going to have trouble with his legs, but he's going to get back use, and it's not going to be a problem at all. And what did you say?
And oddly enough, he had woken up that morning and couldn't walk. I mean, I was terrified, and we took him to the doctors, and it turned out it was a viral thing, and by the next day, he was fine.
That's really weird.
It was really odd. It just attacked his nervous system for some reason.
There was something going around then, wasn't there?
It was.
Yeah. I mean, how frightening.
For whatever reason, he always got all these bizarro,
He's such a sweetie, and it's so, I can't believe that happened to him. But he's great now, so that's all that matters.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, how odd is that?
That's really odd, and I know it freaked me out totally, because I'm like, geez, I don't want to have these kind of vision things, you know, and that was what came to me, like, in a daydream.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, boy, what do I, you know, that was a weird one. That was a weird one. So sometimes we get daydreams, and they are visions, and the only way to figure that out for me was it was like a movie playing in my head, not like a typical daydream. So it's almost as if somebody was running, and in my case, I'm going to say 8mm film, because that's kind of how I saw it. Maybe it's because of my age, I don't know, which you better not say out loud.
No, I'm not saying a word.
So we were watching, I was watching it, and so that's how I see it. So, you know, your daydream could actually be a vision or a warning. So it can definitely come to you that way. There's another kind of dream called the lucid dream, and that's considered the dream number two type of dream that you can have. And lucid dreaming is kind of cool. This takes place when the person dreaming realizes that he or she is still immersed in the dream. So, like, you're still dreaming, and while you're dreaming, you're like, oh, dude, this is a dream. I could do whatever I want.
I've never, ever had that happen.
I have had it happen, but very rarely. And I think that the person who can take control of it has a very strong mind, the people who have that
ability. My daughter does that a lot. She said she's in the middle of a very scary dream, and then she suddenly realizes she's sleeping and that she can wake herself up. So she tells herself to wake up. Wake up, wake up, and she wakes up.
See, that's and there are some people who tell themselves to wake up, and they wake up, but they're still in the dream.
Right.
And that's really
scary. That
would
be scary.
I've had that happen.
Have you?
I mean, I used to have what they call lucid dreams years ago, where I was in this dream state, and I knew I was dreaming. It didn't happen too often, but I knew I was dreaming, and then I'd wake myself up or try to control. Because my thing was always, oh, cool, I can fly. Or if I know I'm dreaming, this is cool. But then what would happen is a lot of times I'd say, okay, it's time to wake up now, and I thought I was awake, and I wasn't.
Ah.
And then it was totally freaky scary. But what I will say is that there are a lot of people who can take active control or be an active participant in their dreams, and that's pretty cool. Although I will say that there are many people who report almost 100% that they have no
control
like
you. That would be me.
Yeah, you know. And then, of course, the nightmare. That's the number three idea of a dream would be called the nightmare. And many people who are troubled by, you know, disturbing dreams, commonly known as nightmares, are young children that are suffering from fears brought on by monsters under their bed or in their closets. Then there are some, you know, nightmares that are not confined to childhood that even adults will have. Those could be those who have suffered, you know, like real-life trauma, you know. Or, let's face it, folks, if we're going through some stresses in our lives, whether it be in a relationship, in a marriage, or with our children, or an illness in the family, or a job, or financial stresses, we're going to have dreams. I mean, because this is how they play out, and our fears sometimes take control. And that's why oftentimes when we're so stressed out and we think, well, I'm going to go to sleep and I'm going to, you know, try and calm down and recuperate, it's really great to be able to do that. But sometimes what happens is our body is still on what we call high alert. And so we can't really relax. And then our body starts to not heal itself. And that's why a lot of people who are under a lot of stress think, well, you know, okay, I'll just sleep a lot and it'll make it better. But that sleep is not what we call healthful sleep.
Right.
And so their body's not healing itself. And so things just go from bad to worse. There are people who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. It's commonly called PTSD, like soldiers returning from war or rescue workers who've been through some harrowing situations. We're dealing with a lot of that still from 9/11, unfortunately. And they have a higher incidence of nightmares than the public at large.
Oh, well, that's something horrible. I mean, how do you live through that without dreaming about it?
I don't think you can. I think, you know, I try to think back of dreams. I know, you know, did your daughter report any dreams recently from, she just witnessed something horrible on the way home from the party.
Yeah, she did. Well, she actually was on her way to her dad's.
Yeah.
And a car accident happened right in front of them. And apparently this car just lost control. There was a bird that flew in front of this car.
Oh, God,
they lost control trying to avoid it and flipped several times. And they pulled off trying to help the people. And, you know, one of the gentlemen in the car was just bloody and, you know, had internal injuries. And this is not something she's ever experienced before.
Of course not.
So, yeah, that's going to play out in your dreams big time.
Yeah, I was curious how that would play out because that could be a problem, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to ask her how she's doing.
Yeah, and she's at her dad's now, so hasn't mentioned it to me, but.
Kudos to them for pulling over.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say, Ernie and Lori, you know,
I will give him
guys
a compliment in that way. I mean, he's not one to shy away from helping people in emergency situations.
God bless him for that, because if any of us were in that situation, we'd want people to stop and try to help
absolutely.
Any way they can. But it is a frightening thing, so that's something you'll have to ask her about. I know that she dreams about zombies.
She does. Very, very frequently, and she keeps saying, why do I dream about zombies all the time?
Well, I did some research on that, and when you dream about zombies, and you dream that you're being attacked by zombies, or that she is a zombie?
No, she's being attacked.
Okay, so if you're dreaming that you're being attacked by zombies, that generally will indicate that you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed by forces beyond your control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You could be under tremendous stress in your waking life, or it could be that it represents fears of being helpless or overpowered. And I think teenagers often feel that way.
The
they're
age,
not adults
she's
yet,
at, right.
You know, but they're not kids anymore,
mm-hmm.
and she's right at that cusp. She's
yep.
16. So she kind of wants to be the major adult, but
yes.
she's not quite there yet. So that started pretty recently, didn't
pretty
it?
Pretty recently, and she's got a boyfriend, and there's issues there, of course.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of stress in her life. It makes sense.
Yeah, you know, I've met him. I think she's a 10, he's a 3. We won't go there. Okay.
And I can only agree with you.
Okay, all right. Yes, there is the proverbial ladder, and she's way too high on it. Okay, we're not going to go there. So let's go on to the next type of dream or nightmare, okay? There's something called a recurring dream. And most people who have recurring dreams at one point in their life, it represents itself with minor variations, and it comes again and again and again and again. And recurring dreams can be about any subject, or they can focus on a subject night after night. Now, some recurring dreams can be very positive and uplifting, but studies have shown that the majority of recurring dreams are usually negative in nature. It's again, something you need to overcome, some fear. I see this a lot with people who have fear of abandonment, and their dreams are always like that. So dreams can reoccur because of a real-life event that triggered it or something that's remained unresolved since childhood, and I hear that a lot too. So dealing with real-life trauma in a responsible way is important, because if you don't deal with it at the time, it's going to come back to haunt you sometimes, and sometimes it'll come back to haunt you in your dreams. I know I mentioned to you, Jessica, that I had recurring dreams from the time I was 5 years old.
Yes,
now,
and you have to tell everyone about it, because it's a dream that I have never heard of anyone ever having.
I didn't either, and I didn't know until recently
mm-hmm.
what it meant, because I was doing research. I used to dream, and I remember this, I was 5 years old, I had this dream, and I was dreaming of geometric shapes, which really seems bizarre. I would fall asleep, and all of a sudden I would see the geometric, the shapes, and everything would be, what I called it, I called it everything was matching, because I was five. So for me, the top, you know, it was always a pattern, it was
mm-hmm.
geometric shape, and everything was balanced, and as I would sleep, these little shapes would get filled in into this geometric pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on up until 15 years ago,
wow.
give or take. Now, here's what I found out, and it's kind of funny. It's called the mandala, and the mandala is a complex or simple geometric design or pattern, usually in the form of a circle, and they're frequently seen in Native American ceremonies, and they make up a big part of religious experiences for many a Native American or indigenous people. Now, I am part Cherokee. Don't know if that plays a role in it
That's
or not.
That's possible.
But they say that it's used a lot in both Hindu and Buddhism, and that it's also used as to symbolize the circle of life, completeness or wholeness, and it's often seen as a sign of greater spiritual enlightenment. So
that totally makes sense for you.
It makes sense, but I had no idea what it meant.
Wow.
So mind you, growing up, I used to think, well, this is a sign, right? Because I'm thinking, okay, I could not be further from an engineer, okay? We know I can't add fractions. It's terrible. I have no
or
mathematics.
Or maybe an architect with the shapes.
Well, I thought about
mm-hmm.
that. So I kept thinking, you know, I'm supposed to be doing something like that, but they didn't interest me. And I'm thinking, I'm wondering if I'm not following what I'm getting this message.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out I was just interpreting the message wrong. So that's the message that I want to give everybody today, is you don't want to interpret your message and think it's one thing and kind of turn your life in a direction that maybe you don't want it to go. So your dream is supposed to aid you. It's not supposed to hinder you. And so if you're not sure what your dream means, maybe call somebody, you know,
mm-hmm.
get some advice from somebody else. But don't sit there and say, okay, this is what it must mean, and stick with it, and then alter your life according to that, because you may not be interpreting it correctly, okay? I don't even know if I should say this.
What?
My daughter Tiffany, do you remember back when Kaylee Anthony went missing?
her child.
Well, it was
Kaylee, isn't it?
We were at a place in Maine all summer, and so when we had come back, we had heard about it. I hadn't heard about it till then.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter, I don't want to say her name, although I've probably already said her
name
a million times, Tiffany.
That's okay.
She had a dream,
mm-hmm.
and her dream was that there was this, looked like this pillowcase, and then this black bag,
mm-hmm.
and she said, "She's in the water, Mommy, but it's not a lake, and I see trees all around it." And I said, "Huh, have you seen this? Do you feel like it?" She said, I almost feel like I've seen it, but I don't know." And do you remember we called you that day?
Yes, I do remember that.
And we took your daughter and my girls, you know.
We went looking.
And I said, well, we're just going to drive by our normal haunts, and if you see anything that looks like it, you just let me know. And that's kind of an awkward thing as a mom,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you want to encourage a healthful respect to your dreams, but not something that, you know.
Right.
But my daughter's very gifted,
mm-hmm.
and so I thought, okay, let's see. Well, she pointed out a spot that looked like a swamped area, like it was a water retention
mm-hmm.
area. She said, it looked like that, but that's not it. And then, of course, we found out how long later. Yeah.
No, she was seeing it just in the wrong area of town.
But that scared her.
Mm-hmm.
It bothered her. She said, I don't want to know stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to know stuff like that. And I understand that.
Well, it's quite the responsibility.
Well, that's what she said. She said, you know, how do you know? She said, should we have kept looking? I said, but you can't keep looking if you don't know where to look.
Well, right. It could be anywhere.
Right. If nothing else, it let her know that sometimes her dreams are going to give her messages.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, another point for all our listeners, your messages can be coming in the form of dreams. And,
mm-hmm.
and so don't beat yourself up if you're not sure what the dream is or how to interpret it, or you get a piece of it and it's not enough to be helpful. It wasn't meant for that. Your dream was meant to be totally helpful, and it's a mission or a message to you, you're gonna decipher it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So don't worry that because I think a lot of people, you know, there is the there's a lot of psychiatrists out there, and Carl Jung, who says that you know, dreams, when women dream of, let me see if I can get this right. Gosh, this goes back to what year in college. But when girls dream of doing more masculine things, that there's a masculine side hidden inside of them, that they're just trying to get out in a dream. And I probably have a note here. I'll get to it in a minute because I know on a song
mm-hmm.
I'll pull it out. But it was kind of an interesting concept. But men do the same thing. So that kind of scared people because they're like, well, I don't want to dream of being masculine, or I don't want to dream of being a female, but that's not what it's supposed to
right.
be. He's saying that every male and every female have similar qualities, and sometime in our dream state they come out. And I thought that was interesting because I actually had a client call me up, and they were really quite disturbed. She said, you know, she said, well, it wasn't a girl, it was a guy, and he said, I dreamt that I was a girl, and does that mean I'm gay? And I'm
no.
And, you know, there's actually a psychology
mm-hmm.
behind this. And that's when I had actually done the research, so I'm going to see if I can find that on the next commercial break, but it was kind of interesting. Now, there's something called the healing dream. Healing dreams are seen as sending a message to the dreamer, as it was in Tina's case, right,
mm-hmm.
where her son, who had been recently departed, God bless him, God rest his soul, came and gave her a message. Or sometimes people will be given a message, you know, you need to go to the doctor, get this checked out. That's what we call a healing dream, or the prophetic dream. Where it's almost like a prophecy, where the people experiencing the dream will report the ability to foretell the future in this case, or what's happened in the past, like what happened, you know, with my dream with your son and my daughter's
right.
dream with Kaylee. And so those are what we call prophetic dreams. And then there's epic dreams that are somewhat rare, but they're pretty unforgettable. These are dreams that are so vivid and so compelling that they cannot be ignored. And even the tiniest of detail on these dreams are remembered for years and years and years. I think that epic dreams generally are signs. I mean, when you have a dream like that that's so real, and it doesn't necessarily scare you, but you just, for some reason, and you don't know why, it's sitting there with you and it doesn't want to leave you, there is a message that you need to try and figure out from that dream, okay? In just a minute, we're going to talk about the most common symbols and their meanings in a dream, such as different animals, colors, blood, eggs, fog, everything, keys, mountains, owls, roads. We're going to talk about all of them in just a second. We'll be right back. And, folks, we're going to get to the chat room right after this as well, okay?
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend, cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor, no one's ever gonna keep me down again. Whoa.
we're back with the Christian Psychic Cafe, and we have some questions in our chat room, and we're going to go to them. And before we do, I want to just shout out to Jill B. Hello from Jessica and I. And also, I want to send out a shout to LP out in Pennsylvania. I hope you're doing well, and I hope to hear from you soon. Okay. Now, we've got a question here, okay? One of the questions, and I want to make sure I read it correctly here, okay, was, Dr. Ginny, once I had two dreams, two nights in a row, about my husband hunting me down. The second dream was filled with many symbols. At the end of the dream, I opened my eyes, and a voice outside my head said, "Birdie, get out now while you can." Now, you know, I'm going to tell you that that dream sounds very, very much like, I know that the things, because I read further on here, I mean, I did read that it's a long story, things got intense, but the last year he's been Prince Charming, and I'm really glad to hear that. But I will tell you, that is a dream that is generally a bit of a premonition dream, and I think you were being delivered a message in that dream. Now, that doesn't mean that through your free will you couldn't change things, because it certainly seems that you have. But I think at that time, at the point you were at, you were very overwhelmed and you were personally scared. And I think that's why you had that dream. And you said that there were some other symbols, and I think that was pink in the chat room. So go ahead and let me know what those symbols were, because I'd be really, really curious. You know, I think that would be very interesting. I'd like to know what those symbols were, so if you can put those in, that'd be awesome. Now, the other thing I want to address here is I've got a question from, looks like, Deeg14. The question is, twice in the past couple of months I've had two dreams where I couldn't remember things during my dreams, like maybe I had Alzheimer's or something. In one of them, I did not have my purse or cell phone during a car trip, and I could not remember where I had put them. I knew that both were necessary if I was going to continue on the trip. I think I know what it means, but I'd like some confirmation about it. Okay, well, that one is actually very good. You know, in a dream, when you lose something, it generally indicates that, A, you may have really misplaced something, and you went to bed thinking about it. That could certainly be it. But also may be a signal that it's time to clean out and reorganize your life. You may be overwhelmed and distracted with the hustle and the bustle of day-to-day life. And alternatively, you might be losing something in a dream, which is coinciding with a significant life change or a waking issue. So when you lose things in your dream, it generally will suggest that you're missing opportunities, past relationship, forgotten aspects. And I would tell you that what I sense it meant for you is that you felt that you weren't taking advantage of things you needed to take advantage of. That's what I'm saying. I feel that at that point in your life that you felt you didn't have things in order enough, and you had to get things in order to be able to take advantage of them. So I think that that's what that meant. And I had one more here that I wanted to try and answer, too. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Okay, I had a dream. This is from Dolly M. I had a dream about my stepdad last night, who died 4 years ago. He and I were really close, but I had never dreamed about him before. I wonder if he felt he needed to put his 2 cents worth in with all that has been happening in our lives. In my dream, he told my mom and I that we needed not to be in such a hurry. Then he gave my mom a piece of steak that was undercooked, but she ate it. What does that mean? Okay, I think that means your mother's a carnivore. No, I think what that means, I'm only kidding. I think what that means, again, traditionally in a dream, if you eat either cooked or uncooked meat in a dream, it suggests that you're actually getting to the heart of the matter, and you're recognizing that by using your instinct and your in what I call instinctual energies, that you're going to start achieving what you've been striving for. And I think since you mentioned in the early part of the dream, he was telling you to slow down, not to be in such a hurry, I think that might relate to some personal situations that are going on, and maybe you were feeling stressed over having to make a decision that maybe you needed not to have to make immediately. So maybe it meant don't make that decision just yet because you have time, and rushing yourself into making that decision may not be what's best for you. So I think that may have played an important role in that dream. So you needed to slow down, and you got the message. And the fact that you got it in your dream, I think, was when the meat then was shown, because the meat basically says, okay, you know, we're saying you got the message now, and now what you're looking for, you're going to accomplish, but you've got to give it a chance to be able to accomplish it. So let's talk about some common dream world symbols and their real world meanings, okay? The world of dreams and dreaming is a fascinating one, and it continues to be kind of a fertile ground for debate and interpretation even today. Dreams are fascinating, they're confusing, they're amazing all at once, and figuring out what the objects in our dreams really stand for can be a fascinating hobby and gives you, you know, a deeper insight into your life. Let's talk about abandonment, because that's one I hear all the time and I see all
that's
the time.
That's
okay.
A common issue.
It's very common, and the abandonment theme is a common one for dreams because it reflects real-life world fears of being abandoned or left behind. I would say a majority of people always have that fear at some point in their life of abandonment, and everybody does. I can remember when I was in fourth grade, I used to have that dream where I think I saw the Woody Allen movie Sleeper.
Remember that? Wow.
This, I can't believe, I have such a weird memory, don't I?
You have a memory for some of the weirdest.
I know. I don't know how
thing.
This just triggered, but I remember having this dream, where, and I was a walker, mm-hmm. and I was walking home from the school that was a block from my house, and I remember getting really scared because I remember the night before I had had a dream where I couldn't, I had been in sleeper, and I had woken up in a different time, and I just wanted to be able to find my parents again, and I couldn't because I couldn't remember their phone number, so no one could call them. Yeah, and I remember, and I was walking home thinking, what if that really happened? And then I started looking around, and I started thinking, I have to memorize every detail, so if this ever happens to me, I'll be able to find my way. Isn't that weird? But But that's abandonment.
Yeah.
Don't know why I had that. But maybe it was just because of the movie Sleeper.
Probably because of the movie.
You know, I remembered it.
Because you had a pretty solid family life.
Yeah, I certainly did. The other kind of dream you can have is the birth dream. Dream of giving birth can signal anxiety about giving birth or getting pregnant. Birth can also be a symbol of renewal. Now, did you ever have a dream about birth?
I have.
Was it a good one?
I haven't dreamed about anything like that in quite a long time.
But maybe you dreamt about it when you were pregnant or
yes.
in your birthing years.
Well, yes, and it was always giving birth to something freakish.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I had the same dream about Tiffany. She actually should have come out as a 4'2" football player. That looked like, it was like Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Oh, really?
When a he came out, because it was a he, yeah.
Huh.
So I was expecting a boy.
Oh, wow.
Now, what did
now, I just remember it being a little teeny-weeny old person.
Really?
But they were creepy and scary. And they had long fingernails. Yeah, I don't know. Because, of course, you know, my first baby, I was scared.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, and you have this thing growing inside of you. I mean, honestly. And, you know, at that time, the movie Aliens had come out.
Oh, yeah. See, I never went to see
yes.
it. And that movie,
yes.
Alien, you actually even mentioned that in the car last
That's
night.
A scary movie.
Yeah. See, it really affected you. So I bet
well,
you
it
that's
did.
Exactly
because, you
the
know,
connection.
Having aliens bursting out of your body, okay,
right.
when you're pregnant, that's kind
right,
of the first thought that comes into your head.
Isn't that amazing?
So
isn't that funny?
That's going to, you know.
But you see, now you just, we talked about it. You connected the two thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so odd that you happened to mention Alien when we came home in the car with our kids last night because we were talking. You had said to my daughter, had you ever seen that movie?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I haven't even seen it because it was scary.
It was scary. And it's one of those sit on your edge and it pops out all of a sudden and
So now you know where that dream came from. Sometimes we dream of church. Church can indicate a spiritual longing or the need for a religious guidance or wanting to belong,
mm-hmm.
you know, a sense of wanting to belong. And devil, okay, now anyone, obviously, a devil can obviously only represent evil, but actually it can actually also stand for slyness or somebody who you think is tricking you who is evil, okay? So if you're having a dream about that, that can happen. A lot of times if our life isn't going the way we want, we might dream about failure. It usually indicates anxiety or worry. The failure in a dream can take any kind of form. Like it could be you failed a test again and again, or you show up at school and you're failing, and you're failing again, and you're failing again. And everyone has that dream where they show up at school
and
your pajamas or with no clothes on, mm-hmm. and you can't find your class. And that's just anxiety about, you know, not being able to get to your class. I mean, how many kids before the school year starts, when they have a schedule and they have to change mm-hmm. classes, so they're in middle school, they have that dream.
Oh, sure.
And folks, it's a normal dream.
That's
it just
anxiety.
Means that your child wants to do well mm-hmm. and wants to strive to do well, and they're fearful that they may not meet up to the challenge.
Right.
And again, so that's an anxiety one. How about getting in a fight? If you're dreaming about getting into a fight, it can mean that you're struggling with issues in your life that's battling against part of your nature. Maybe you're being forced to make decisions that goes against everything you believe in, but because of life circumstances, you have to follow through with something that you ordinarily wouldn't. That would cause you to have that internal angst so that when you do sleep, you're ending up having a fight. Or garbage. This seems like an odd one. But
dream about garbage?
I've never dreamt about garbage, but garbage in a dream symbolizes unwanted items. And so it means that you're looking to discard the old habits or characteristics uh-huh. and trying to pick up some new ones. So maybe in your dream you're getting rid of garbage, or a garbage truck is pulling up a lot outside your house. Might be you're making some positive changes in your life because you're getting rid of, you're shedding the excess or what you don't need. If you dream about a hammer, it can indicate that you're entering a creative stage in your life.
I don't think I'd remember a hammer.
Well, see, this is why it's so important to have a piece of paper and a pencil when you dream. When you wake up, you can write it down. How about a key? Have you ever dreamt about a key?
Maybe.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't remember just a key.
A key? Okay. Well, if you dream about a key, it means that...
Losing my keys, I'm sure.
Okay. So that kind of relates back to what the woman in the chat room
mm-hmm.
had, right? And y'all can't hear this, but it is thundering and it is lightning out here. And we're just hoping that our phones don't get cut off, because that happens here in Florida when we get storms. I'm just letting y'all know. So suddenly we go dead silent. We're not dead. And we're not silent. You just can't hear us. How about landing? If you're landing in an airplane, it can symbolize the end of a long journey, either in a literal or spiritual journey. And that means that, you know, and that could be messages, too, that are being sent to you. Again, a dream that is outside the norm, that stays with you, that doesn't frighten you but concerns you, that you know you feel like you need to do something, that's probably a premonition and you do need to act. If nothing else, talk to somebody else about it. Get their opinion. If you dream about getting married in a dream, it can symbolize commitment to either a partner or a new lifestyle. So maybe you've decided you're going to eat healthier and be more eco-friendly. I always used to say eco-friendly, and everyone gets mad at me. But I do that just to tease my kids. Eco-friendly, well, if you do that, then you might dream about marriage. It doesn't mean that you're getting rid of your husband and marrying a new guy. It just means that you're making some changes in your life. If you dream about night.
Nighttime, you mean?
Nighttime. Everything is always in darkness, and it's unclear, and it's hard to tell. That just means that you're unsure about certain things in your life.
I do
you're
dream
having
that
difficulty.
Sometimes.
Do you?
The
well,
things are so dark out that you just can't really see clearly.
See, I hate movies like that.
Yeah. And I know. And having a dream, it's like, just, you know, make it a little brighter.
Turn it up. But you see, that means that you're unclear about what direction you want to go in.
Well,
and that
sounds like my life.
That's exactly what's going on in your life. You're
in the
middle.
I need a big giant flashlight.
Well, you know, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
You know, the human life dilemma flashlight. If you dream about poison, it can symbolize something the dreamer is trying to get rid of. It also can be a pain for symbol, a symbol for pain in the waking world.
Yeah.
So if you're dreaming about poison, it might mean that you've got pain. Yeah, and I think that the idea of the poison is you're going to end the pain, but you're not. It doesn't mean you're
suicidal.
If it's
like rat poison or something.
then it's...
Maybe you're going to kill some rats.
Or you're going to get Botox.
That's
right,
true.
There you go. How about this one? We have all done this. Running in a dream.
Yes.
Okay, now that can symbolize a desire to escape from something in the waking world, but let's face it, we have all
dreams
of trying to run, and you can't run.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you feel trapped in your present situation, whatever that is. It might be a job, it might be a relationship, it could be a house or a financial situation, but you're trapped and you don't see a way out. So that's where sometimes we're running in a dream and we can't run.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like so annoying.
Oh, it's frustrating.
Oh, I used to have those dreams years ago. Again, I guess maybe I don't pay as much attention to my dreams.
Well,
days.
And
who
I
knows?
Think they come back to you as you talk about them. I used to dream that I was running away from something, but I was running up this lighthouse stairs, up and up and up and up and up, and they never ended.
You know, that means that you're not getting to your eventual goal.
Right.
Right? That's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you think about it, the more you try to interpret it, I think the more we can all see. You know, now, I almost hate to say this because there's somebody here who on the chat room says that that they used to dream of snakes and insects and bugs and poop. Freddy Krueger. Well, like I said, they're all things we dream about. Freddy Krueger type person was after me during some really tough times during my marriage, a hung bride with scars. Had many, many dreams while I was being chased. Okay. Well, I think that, you know, obviously being chased means that you're being restricted. You can't get away. And it kind of goes to the running dream again. You're being chased. If you dreamt about a snake or, in this case, snakes and insects and bugs and even poop, then I would say that probably this is a symbol of evil in your mind. And so you were trying to escape things that you thought that were going to be bad that were coming your way. And since you happened to mention in the chat room that it had something to do with a bad marriage, I wouldn't doubt that that's exactly what was going on there. Okay? So it probably was just you trying to get away. Now, if you dream about thunder, hearing thunder in a dream can be a symbol of inspiration or insight. Thunder can also be seen as a warning. So, again, you have to take that, you know, with a grain of salt. What else is going on in the dream? What other symbols are going on? What did you feel at the time? If you're peering through a window in a dream, it can symbolize the dreamer's outlook. The outlook depends on what's seen through the window. If you look outside the window and the view is great with grass and it's a beautiful sunny day, it means you're looking forward to a good future. If you're looking outside and it's gloomy, it means that your future doesn't look very good in your mindset. Yeah, it doesn't mean that in anyone else's mindset, but in your mindset. So these are some things that we can look for in dreams that will help us to determine what's really going on in a dream. And I think that if you watch it very carefully, you'll discover that there's a lot of dreams out there that you're going to be able to decide how to interpret them just by hearing some of these things here today. And there's also, and I have to tell you, there are some sites on the Internet. I believe one is called dreammoods.com, where you can type in certain words, and it'll give you an idea of what that dream means. And I've checked it out. I can't say it's totally on the money from my experience,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's very close, and it gets your mind thinking.
Right.
So it's an interesting site to go to. We're going to go to the song here, and we'll be back in just a minute, okay? Hey, are you looking to find true love, the perfect job, prosperity, or the road to good health? Science has proven that our bodies are made up of a complex energy system called chakras. These chakras can be tuned up just like a car. Imagine if your car was not running correctly. Would you just sit back and assume it would magically fix itself? If your refrigerator stopped cooling, do you think you would just wait and see what happens, or would you be afraid that all your food would spoil and call a repairman? Chakra clearing and balancing is the same thing. When things are not going right in your life, whether it's your love life, your career, your bank account, or your health, can you afford to just sit back and wait and hope that somehow it will simply just correct itself? Chakra can even help the most stressed out person regain their sense of calm and inner serenity, regardless of what's going on around them. You can get a full chakra clearing and realignment long distance over the phone by calling 1-800-375-3446. That's 1-800-375-3446. We'll be happy to clear and balance all your chakras. Look forward to tomorrow, a chakra clearing. Come back on before the song was over. I thought it was over, but
and
it wasn't over.
You just did that last time, too.
You see, I'm a slow learner. Apparently, a very slow learner. You know, you asked me a question during this break, and you said to me, what about when people's teeth, they dream about their teeth are falling out or rotting out
uh-huh.
or something? Because I think everybody's had
yes.
that dream. I know I have, too,
mm-hmm.
over the years. Although I remember having the dream after I went to the dentist, so for me, maybe
well, that,
it
was, yeah.
But they say if you dream that your teeth are rotting or decaying, it generally means that either you're going to have a health or you're having health issues or business issues that are negative, or you may have uttered some false words or foul words to somebody, and those words are starting to come back to haunt you, and it's bothering you. She might have cursed somebody out or said something harsh.
Yeah, I do that when I drive every day.
Yeah, and that's the symbolization there is with the teeth falling out or rotting out.
Uh-huh.
Like it was bad, and
okay.
it came from the mouth,
well,
so you
sense.
Can see where the connection goes to. That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, there's just dream interpretation is a fascinating thing, and there's just so many different things that you can learn about when you look into it. You know, I also see that I guess it's Dolly Loves Blackbird, and that version is the Glee version, and we actually did play that just for you. I want you to know that. Now, we have to do our very famous... Our very famous emails. As you know, we always pick an email, several emails during the week, and to read on air. And one of us has to go down to the mailbox to get the email. So we're going to do a quick rock, paper, scissor, and go.
Oh,
I win.
I have lost the last 2 weeks in a row.
Yes, as it should be. Okay, so here we go. You want to read yours, or we've
yeah.
got there's many, many, many here.
Okay.
Okay.
This one is from Dave F. from Montreal. He says, "Hi, my name is Dave, and I have been listening to your show, and I really enjoy it."
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Dave. I was wondering if Jessica ever had a chance to hook up with the guy who sent the email. Oh, my gosh. I was hoping nobody would bring that up.
Oh, but yet someone did.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's Dave from Montreal.
Well, Dave, thanks for bringing it up. Actually, yeah. I did email back and forth with this gentleman, and turns out he was a little odd, had some issues, thought he was a vampire.
Yeah,
and that was just once we started into the whole, you know, I love vampire movies, sure, I'm
yeah.
open-minded, but yeah, I don't...
But you don't want to sleep in a coffin.
So I kind of cut that one short, and I stopped emailing him. He kept trying, but, you know...
Well, it's one thing to enjoy vampire movies. It's another thing never to see the light of day again.
Right,
so,
right. And to believe you're actually a vampire... is a little
out
there.
Yeah, that's a little bit, you know. I wonder if he ever dreamt of his teeth falling out. Okay, but it was still nice that he made the effort and reached out. And heck, if you were really into the vampire thing as much as
but
him, it might have been a good match.
The story of my life.
Jessica needs a really nice guy who's fun, who likes to laugh.
And who isn't a vampire.
And who isn't a vampire or looking like a gnome.
Right, there you go. And it's a really short wish list.
Yes, it is a short wish list. And you're not looking for a guy who's got a six pack. You're looking for guys.
The guy from King of Queens, what's his name?
Kevin James.
I love him.
Yeah, he's adorable.
I would go out on a date with him.
Even if he's not wearing his toupee.
No, I don't care about that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if he has hair or not.
Just the whole he's funny. You know, he's a little on the chunky side, which I like.
Yeah.
You know?
See, I think there are a lot of guys out there who probably are listening saying, oh, somebody likes chunky men. And there are a lot of women who like that.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I just want to have fun and somebody that's, you know. But
a
I'm not saying anybody, I'm not looking for, you know, a hookup here. I'm just.
But yet you wouldn't turn one down. No, no. Actually, if you are an eligible man, she's going
to
kill me now.
Yeah.
Within that certain age.
Stop the conversation
okay.
right here. Let's move on to the next email here.
Okay. Dear Dr. Ginny, my aunt, and this is from Shirley from Miami, Florida. My aunt fell down the stairs and died. I'm very sorry to hear that. This happened 2 months ago, and now every time I go up or down those stairs, I smell her perfume. Is she trying to tell me something? I think she's trying to say, I wish you hadn't left the skateboard at the top. No, I'm kidding. No, really what she's trying, this happens very often, and this is actually probably her coming back, letting you know that she's still there. The fact that you smell her perfume, there's such a thing as residual energy. It could be that, or she could actually be coming there. The fact that you keep smelling it tells me it's not just residual energy,
right.
That you can actually smell her perfume. And I know you're probably at some point, I'm surely thinking, is this just in my head? But I don't think it is. I don't think it's just in your head. I think it's more than that. I think that she's actually coming back, and she's actually letting you know her presence is known. So I think that's important. Now I want to, and we got to add those all to our huge mega. We've actually switched now to huge
monster box.
Yes, because we're filling these up. Now let's stick those all in. I'll let you do that. And watch your headset. Okay. And so I got this thing today. Now, you all heard Father Bob Bailey on our show. He's with the Paranormal Warriors of St. Michael. He has a website, which is awesome. We had Facebooked, and I had saw something that was on his Facebook that I thought was really great. And I wanted to read it. And it was about an email that was received. And he had just read an article about spirits being attached to objects in homes. And so this young man wrote a story that he wanted to relay. He said, I'm from Idaho, and my parents were given as a gift a large painting that was supposed to represent the Blessed Virgin Mary in a New Age style. The known painter was heavily involved with occult practices, and my parents, even after having the picture blessed, always felt uneasy about it. A relative who liked the picture took it to their home, but after a few years, they were downsizing and wanted to return the picture. They were making plans to ship the painting back to my parents. At that time, I was visiting at my parents' house, and when I got up this particular morning, I was about to put on my tennis shoes and was surprised and a bit bewildered to find two centipedes in my shoes. I felt it was odd, as my mom keeps a clean, bug-free home. Later that day, as I was talking with my mom, she told me how upset she was about the thought of having that picture back in their home. She had been praying about it for days and told me she even dreamed about it the night before. She said she dreamed that the picture was a portal of evil and saw centipedes pouring out of it. It was only then that I told her about finding the centipedes in my shoes that morning. My parents then called and requested that the painting be destroyed. After having done so, they felt a great peace about the situation.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. And you know, again, that's a great example of paying attention to your dreams. I mean, it really bothered her.
Mm-hmm.
She was having negative thoughts about it. But that representation right there, well, I can't think of anything else that was just freaking
out.
Yeah,
that's creepy.
Right? But amen that she recognized it and did the right thing, took action, destroy it, we don't need it, end of story,
yep.
Get rid of it. You told me, Jessica, for years, you wake up around 3 o'clock.
I do. And
okay.
I have done it for years and years and years, like 3:02.
Okay. Now,
I mean, which is odd, to wake up at the same time every single night.
And yet, probably not as odd as you actually think. And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm laughing because I went into the chat room. I was going to ask if anybody in the chat room that's listening has any idea why people do have a tendency to wake up around 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
okay.
I would have no idea.
I'm going to give them a chance to respond real quickly there. And the reason why I say that is because you're not alone in that, and a lot of people do, and I'm waiting to see if anybody responds in the chat room. And while we wait, I'm going to tell you that Dolly says in the chat room, so Jessica, the whole vampire thing was a turnoff, huh?
I'm pretty open, but yeah, the whole vampire thing kind of,
not quite your thing.
Not
you know?
My bag.
Yeah, and by the way, the person who said that you dream that you're paralyzed, that's again that kind of is like the not being able to run dream,
right?
Paralyzation dream, that kind of all falls into that same category. Okay, now I see that somebody did respond and they said they wake up at 3:30 and her son does too. Let me tell you this, folks. You're in excellent company because there are people that I mean I have pages of it here. 3 a.m. wake ups. Can we draw a link to the passage from Matthew where Jesus asks the disciples, so you had not the strength to wake me one hour? And here's the thing. They say that people from all over the country, I've got Ethel from Louisiana. I have Father Mateo. He is from, Buffalo, New York. I mean, I have them, Amherst, New York, Sue Ellen Brewster. It goes on and on and on. A famous designer from Miami. Everyone has a tendency to wake right around 3 o'clock. And this is supposed to be the prayer time. And I know it sounds crazy, but there are people who say, it doesn't matter. I've been waking up at 3 a.m. for years now. She says, during the 80s and the 90s, it was most every night. Since then, I wake up at 3 a.m. every single night, with few exceptions. Interestingly, the time change does not seem to affect the 3 a.m. wake-up. During standard time, I wake up at 3 a.m. During daylight savings time, I wake up at 3 a.m. When I'm traveling, I wake up at 3 a.m. in the time zone where I am. There's Wanda Joy of North Franklin, Connecticut. She was told that you are to pray the rosary when you wake up.
Oh, really?
At 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah, because it was the hour of atonement. And that's kind of what you're supposed to be doing, is you're supposed to be praying. And, I don't know how to say that. All I could tell you is that you are in really good company. There are a lot of people out there, and I don't quite know. I mean, it's
but you feel like you're being woken up, not that you're just waking up.
I know.
For me, I feel like I'm being woken up.
I know, and you know, I don't know if Jill has access to her computer right now, but I know that 3 o'clock represents something in the paranormal world.
And
too.
I always thought that was the time that spirits are more active and
right. Right.
Something along those lines.
Something along those lines. What I will say is that I do believe that, you know, according to what I've read here, is that it is the hour of atonement, and that's when people are supposed to, you know, maybe say a prayer. So maybe when you wake up, try saying a quick prayer. Do you go off to sleep quickly?
Yeah, usually.
Okay, so that's not so bad.
Unless I decide I have to go to the bathroom.
Right. Well, thanks for sharing. We really appreciate that. You know, I know that we have a little bit of time left, and what I'd like you to do is this Scary Dreams Coming True came in, and it's really interesting. And you might want to share that with our listeners.
Okay. Let's see. It says, I have always felt there was nothing unusual to my experiences throughout my life. However, last summer started events that I'm having trouble ignoring. Please bear with me. It does begin with the dreams. In June 2006, I had three dreams over three consecutive nights. The first was in the mountains. I was driving, and as I began down a section of the mountain, my car lost its brakes. I knew when I got to the bottom where the road turned that would be the end. Then all of a sudden there was a body of water at the bottom, and that is what I ran into. The next evening, my dream was of my son on a roller coaster. It was like I was there with him, but I wasn't at the same time. I witnessed events happening to him. I woke up again just as the night before, sweating with tremors, very understandably disturbed. The third evening was very vague. There were some trees, tall grass, and I knew something very horrible had happened. I knew it was a man, but wasn't sure who it was or what had happened. Again, I woke up in the same condition as before. I assumed the third dream was of my husband. These dreams bothered me, but I kept brushing them off. I did share them with my cousin and some of it with my husband, just as you might share any bad dream. To me, though, they felt very different. About 2, maybe 3 weeks after, I went camping with my family, and when we left to head home, we all decided to meet for pizza down the mountain. Just before getting there, I lost the brakes on my car. I was going down a long, steep stretch of the mountain, and at the bottom was a stoplight. My car ran the light. My kids and I were very lucky. We ended up okay. My cousin said I looked like I had seen a ghost as I came in the pizza parlor. Approximately 2 to 3 weeks after that event, I got the call that changed my life. It was to inform me that my boys, well, things were happening to them that shouldn't. I talked to them and confirmed what I had been told. I can't even begin to explain what was going on in my head at this point. I was angry at everything, especially myself and the dreams. Could this still be a coincidence? I kept telling myself it was. Now, about 6 weeks after this event, I got another phone call from my brother. He was to tell me that my other brother had gone missing about a month previous and that a missing persons report had been filed. Because of all the time had passed since the last event, I had kind of stopped thinking about the dreams. Next, a month and a half later, after the first call from my brother, I received a second. He told me the body of my brother had been found. They said it looked as though he had been deceased since he came up missing and that it was probably natural causes. It was in the news, so I got on the internet and looked it up. And when I found it, I just cried. They were lifting his remains out of some tall grass under a group of trees. The image was just as it was in my third dream. I'm sorry for the length here. I did intend to tell you of the other experiences that have occurred since these, and I will, but for now, I look forward to your comments. Wow.
Wow. That's
That's amazing, right?
That is amazing, yeah. I think those were premonitions, obviously.
Well, yeah.
You know? But
to have them all coming true.
But that's how it came for me when I first started.
Really?
Yeah, all of a sudden, like one right after the other within like a couple of week span, and it is a bit overwhelming.
And so how do you ever know what is really a dream and what's a psychic experience?
She knew.
Yeah.
But now, was she able to do something about it?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like she was able to.
I think one was a forewarning that her sons might have been being abused.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe
mm-hmm.
it was there. And I believe that the other one is maybe to, you know, maybe she could have done a warning, maybe not, you know, but I think that it had already happened.
Right.
Right. So.
Well, because she was seeing
where
he was.
But now that she knows she has the ability,
mm-hmm.
it would probably behoove her to tap into that or to learn how to tap into that. So that she can,
right.
You know, so that she can learn more about it. Because she obviously has the ability. She's obviously very, very gifted. And I think if she learns nothing else, then she learned that from that.
Right.
And now the next time she gets dreams, which I'm sure she's had since, she'll be able to say, okay, wait a second. You know, her barometer should start going up and saying, okay, I got to pay attention to this. Let's go ahead and do our drawing for our free 30-minute reading from anybody who sends in their email. Okay, make sure everything's in there. Shake it up really good. Okay, and I will pick. Okay, and this goes, our winner is Kyle D. as in David from Beaverton. RI, Beaverton, Rhode Island, I guess that is. So
congratulations.
You will get an email from me in the morning, and you will be receiving a free 30-minute reading with myself. And if anybody else would like to have a private consultation with me or a reading done, you can go to my website at www.drginny.com, drginny.com, or you can call in our toll-free number at 1-800-375-3446. We'll be right back. Back at the Christian Psychic Cafe, and we did have somebody update us, Marie B., and she was responding to that question about the 3 a.m. and how it relates to the paranormal world.
Mm-hmm.
And she says 3 a.m. in the paranormal dead time, which is roughly the time of 3 a.m., is related in some spiritual way to the death of Jesus Christ. The theory suggests that spiritual activity is more prevalent at 3 a.m. because that is in direct opposition to the exact time of Christ's death. So
oh, wow.
There you go.
That's
so I knew there was something in the paranormal world that related
yeah,
to that.
Yeah.
And so very good. Thank you, Marie B. I appreciate that very, very much. You know, folks, I'm going to tell you all that I had a really bad virus that in my computer that started a couple of days ago, and I wasn't sure if my laptop was going to be ready this afternoon or not. And so I was really hesitant as to whether or not we were going to do the show tonight
mm-hmm.
because I'm everything's in there that I need. And so I was talking to Father Bob on Facebook and saw the dream story.
Mm-hmm.
And to me it was almost like a message that I had to go ahead and do it because I was really on the fence.
Right.
And amazingly I said, okay, we're going to do it. I called you
yep.
at your job and said, we're going to do it. We're on no matter what. And we were going to wing it as best we could without all the information that I had stored
mm-hmm.
in my laptop. Well, oddly enough, at 3:30, I got a call from Copley, who I adore and love because he fixed my laptop and it's faster and the viruses are gone. And that was done. So we really got in under the wire tonight. But I think that it was meant for us to do this show tonight. And I think somebody probably got some information that's going to be helpful to them. And I think that's one of the reasons why we had to do the show
tonight.
Well,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you... you know, didn't understand what your dream meant before, maybe now you do.
Right, exactly. And hey, folks, look for our upcoming shows. And one of the topics are going to be December 21st, 2012. Is it the end of the world? Is it not? Who knows? We're going to do a show on near-death experiences. My favorite show coming up is a show about nothing. This can be a scary show, I'm telling you. Can you imagine a show about nothing?
We will be in our maximum goofiness, I'm sure.
Maybe you don't want to tune in for that show. I don't know. And then we're going to be doing a show on how to make and keep friendships. And this show will detail the great ways to make friends, especially some folks move to new areas. So that'll be a way for you to make new friends and meet friends and keep your friendship. Thank you. Friendships strong for a lifetime. And as always, I want to thank everybody for listening to our show today. We love to do the show because you're our listeners. And you're our friends, and we appreciate each and every one of you. God bless, and we'll see you next week right here on the Christian Psychic Cafe. Don't forget to write in if you have any questions.
I can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying, you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying. Gotta keep my head held high. There's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's a climb. The struggles I'm facing, the chances I'm taking, sometimes I knock me down, but no, I'm not breaking. I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'm gonna remember most, yeah. Just gotta keep going.